Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. When examining the full scope of information sharing and protection, there are many widespread and complex challenges that must be addressed and solved by multiple agencies and organizations together. The Boston Marathon bombing was a serious reminder of the importance of connecting the dots as a way to keep our cities and neighborhoods safe. More recently, the nation's security was compromised because an insider disclosed classified information to the news media. Both events underscore the importance of strengthening information sharing and safeguarding in tandem. To do this right involves cultivating a horizontal, cross-cutting, data-centric information sharing and protection capability. What is the national strategy for information sharing and safeguarding? How has information sharing matured across the information sharing environment, the ISE? And what are the biggest challenges facing the ISE? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Smendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Smendra, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be here, Michael.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Balthrop. Melinda, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Smendra, it would be helpful to provide some context. So what exactly is the Information Sharing Environment, or ISE, and what are some practical ways of thinking about ISE?
Well, that's a great question. I get it a lot. The information sharing environment is a series of distributed capabilities that are put in place by our different mission partners, federal agencies, state, local, tribal agencies, private sector entities. These capabilities allow for sharing responsibly information to advance the counterterrorism homeland security mission. So examples that are tangible are things like the National Network of Fusion Centers that are owned by the states or major metropolitan areas. The Nationwide Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative, better known through a public awareness campaign, if you see something, say something. Sensitive but unclassified networks like FBI's Law Enforcement Online or DHS's Homeland Security Information Network. And federal programs and applications that interact with other agencies around the counterterrorism homeland security mission.
Well, that's a good way to start. And I'd like to understand the mission of your office, the Office of Program Manager for the ISE. How has it evolved since its inception?
Let me start with a vision. Our vision is national security through responsible information sharing. Now, we have a three-part mission. The first part is to advance the homeland security counterterrorism mission. The second part is to support a shift in culture from information ownership to information stewardship. The third part is to build partnerships and capacity for transformation among our myriad mission partners. Now, how has our mission evolved? We started with a strong focus on terrorism. We still have that. That's our bedrock, terrorism-related information sharing. But in 2007, the Congress added Homeland Security Information Sharing, WMD-related information sharing. Post-WikiLeaks, we took on a classified information sharing and safeguarding mission. And most recently, the White House and agencies have agreed to us taking a leadership role around cybersecurity information sharing, specifically chairing something called the Executive Committee to implement the information sharing architecture that came out of the so-called CNCI-5, the Connect the Centers initiative. This is focused on the internal plumbing of the government across the different agencies, right around things like incidents, indicators, and malware. There's been a lot of good work going on, and you know, the specifics of our role, we really are a planning, coordination, and performance monitoring and management function, you know, that works closely with the White House supporting agency activity.
With such a critical cross-agency government-wide mission, I'd like to get a sense of how the PMISE is organized. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, Melinda. We have three primary divisions that are where the bulk of the activity occurs. The first division is mission programs. That works with our federal, state, local mission-side stakeholders, helping to understand their requirements, harmonize policy, be able to identify the specifics of how to codify the requirements around needed interoperable capabilities. The second group is assured interoperability. Here we're focused on building out the reference architectures, and the frameworks that allow for defining business requirements by mission programs, as well as working with federal agencies, the CIO community, as well as industry standards organizations and the like, right? Because we have a big focus on working with industry and industry associations to get adoption of the frameworks like the National Information Exchange Model or the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap. The third group is management and oversight. That focuses on working with the agencies to support our governance activities, right? I co-chair a White House-based governance committee, the Information Sharing and Access Committee. We support the Senior Information Sharing and Safeguarding Steering Committee that's co-chaired by the National Security Staff and OMB. So that function is supporting the operation of the governance activity and also instrumenting with a focus on performance. Are we, you know, moving forward on implementing the required capabilities? Are those capabilities giving us the targeted outcomes? So those are the three main organizations. And it matches to some extent with the three-part mission I talked about earlier.
Shimendra, what are your specific responsibilities as a program manager? And given that the PMISC does not have an operational mandate, how do you employ collaborative leadership to meet your mission and work successfully across agencies and disciplines?
Yeah, that's a great question. Great question, Melinda. I talked earlier about how the role of the office really is to plan, coordinate, and monitor, right? And the law says plan, manage, oversee, but it doesn't quite work that way, right? The chain of command goes from the president to agency heads, and then the federal government really can't task state and local governments. So it really is about collaborative leadership. The core power we have is the power to convene. We have a legal and a moral authority around convening relating to counterterrorism, homeland security missions. And we've used that effectively. We've been described as an honest broker, bringing in the myriad of stakeholders and making sure their voices are heard in the process. I do think that we're able to bring some non-traditional tools, right, that help with the collaboration activity. I talked about the governance, right? So that's critical, and it's something that we do, but it's not enough. That's the traditional top-down type approach. We also have this connectivity to mission programs. If you look in our annual report to Congress recently released, you'll find 100 success stories, more or less about 100 success stories, that talk about how specific communities of interest, specific programs, federal, state, local, are leveraging ISC frameworks to drive responsible information sharing. So we've got that sort of bottom-up piece, that connectivity to the mission. And then the third piece is our information interoperability frameworks, the standards and architecture approach, and the work we have with industry. There's been a lot of movement on industry adoption of these frameworks, things like the National Information Exchange Model, the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap, and it's not a one-way conversation. You know, we are actually leveraging a lot of mainstream industry work around standards and approaches to interoperability and bringing that in and making sure that that's baked into how we operate. So it's those multiple levels of activity that really, I think, give us the ability to help support agencies that want to be able to be more effective with it, and both from a cost perspective and a mission perspective on this in this area.
And so it's a unique charge. You're doing a lot of things. It's got to be challenging. And I want to explore some of the challenges you face. Could you tell us maybe the three top challenges you're facing and how you sought to address them?
Yeah, I can do that, Michael. The first challenge is the evolving and converging threat. Mm-hmm. Our office is a direct line out of the events, tragic events of 9/11, right? So you've got a large-scale organized plot originating overseas. The threat picture has evolved. There's much more of a focus, or it's more dynamic. There's the lone wolf type scenarios, right? The homegrown activity, the violent extremism. You also have the cyber, which is the number one threat these days, right? According to leaders across the government, and there's a merging of cyber and physical, right, coming together, thinking about our critical infrastructure sort of thing. So the number one challenge we have is the fact that the threat picture is incredibly diverse and interlinked. Number two is a need to continue on the journey of changing organizational cultures, right? A big focus on changing culture, a big focus on that at the individual level, right? A big focus post 9/11 on information sharing, more recently responsible information sharing, right? To make sure that we're not just sharing for sharing's sake, but sharing in the context of a mission requirement to make better decisions to protect the American people. So, you know, as we have that basic level of culture change, we need to be more focused on organizational culture change, right, which comes from governance and performance management. This is something that's bigger than my activity, right? This is kind of the classic thing in large-scale government, kind of government reform activities. How do you work horizontally in a vertical world? So that's a big challenge for us. I think the third big challenge is the financial crisis that we have in the public sector. You know, post the crash several years ago, the state and local community absorbed those budget cuts sooner. They were worse, actually, at the state and local level. At the state and local level, there's been a stabilization and, in some cases, an increase in revenue. At the federal level now, I mean, it's really a big topic. You just read the front page of the paper these days, and you see, how we're coming to terms with the budget cuts at the federal level. So that's causing some stress. That's not all negative. There's some that, and I tend to subscribe to this too, that there's a positive lining to this in terms of forcing creativity and a focus on collaborative approaches. But it's very disruptive, and it does make it challenging.
Mr. Major, what surprised you most since taking your role?
You know, what's surprised me most is, in spite of all of those challenges, the real sense of shared mission and community across so many different stakeholders. It's the thing that keeps me going and is really, really wonderful to be a part of a community, multiple communities, but all have shared focus on improving information sharing, responsible information sharing, on mission fulfillment. You know, the degree to which whole of government has really been inculcated into the fabric of the public sector. And, you know, you can understand in the counterterrorism area, right, the law enforcement community, the intelligence community, the homeland security community, but it goes more broad. There really is a post-9/11 and over the last number of years, whether it's because of the consumerization of technology, whether it's because of, cost imperatives, there really is a focus on whole of government approaches. And so that's actually a positive thing, but that's been a little bit of a surprise for me.
We're getting ready to publish a special report by the IBM Center, The 6 Trends Driving Change in Government. And one of those trends is leadership. And it's leading in an era of complex challenges. And your role, as Melinda pointed out, collaborative leadership is essential in that kind of thing, because not one agency has all the solutions. And I've asked you this question before, but I'd like to get your sense with that kind of rubric of collaborative leadership. What makes an effective leader today when you have to lead in an era of complex challenges?
I think it's several things. Number one is an unrelenting focus on the mission, the outcome, right? Who is the end user and how does that value chain work to support the end user? And, if you keep that always in mind, people are much more open to collaboration and more forgiving of missteps or of the bumps along the way that are inevitable in large-scale collaboration activities. So that focus on the mission, authentically on the mission, and that's I think the number one thing. I think number two is being respectful of different folks' equities, points of view, and finding a way to integrate those. People talk about diversity a lot, and a lot of times that's focused on demographic diversity, and that's very important. But one of the things that we find in our role is that in our office, one of the things I'm proudest of is the degree of functional diversity and representation of the myriad stakeholders across my mission space, can see themselves in the office, whether it's, state and locals, whether it's tribal law enforcement, whether it's intelligence, homeland security community, whether it's the CIO community. I mean, so that having that kind of diversity is important for this kind of thing. I think the other thing I'd highlight here is a willingness to try different approaches. I highlighted this three-pronged approach of the top-down governance, but top-down not being enough, being connected to the mission, the bottom-up, and then working with industry on the standards-based approaches. Any one of those would have been interesting, would have been allowed us to move the ball, but not really enough. I think that the combination gives us much more than the sum of the parts of, so that having a little bit of creativity is, I think, critical too.
What is the national strategy for information sharing and safeguarding? We will ask Smendra Paul, Program Manager for ISE, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.